Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, gents. How you guys doing this morning?
Really well. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. Charles, the Titans make a trade for Ernest Jones with the L.A. Rams. And first of all, let's just start on the Rams part of this. Why did the relationship or whatever the situation is, why did it deteriorate with the Rams to the point where they were willing to trade him at the age of 24? Is it as simple as they don't want to pay that position? How do you view the Rams' decision to trade Ernest Jones at this point heading into the regular season?
Well, you know, it's a couple of things. I mean, clearly there are a couple of things I'm not going to say publicly, but in terms of the Rams. But, you know, I think when Aaron Donald retired, you know, they decided they were going to retool the defense. And I think part of that retooling was really reshaping the scheme completely and, you know, what players they really wanted to prioritize in terms of how they were going to scheme it. And, you know, I think they knew this was a guy that was in a contract year. They weren't going to pay. And, you know, so I think it was, you know, part of it was scheme, but it wasn't only scheme. And again, I don't know how public they're going to be about this, but I think they expected him to show up to camp in a little bit better shape, and he didn't. And I think they were upset about that. I think, you know, he was a little bit over the weight limit that they thought he would be at when he got into Rams camp. And, you know, I think they were not pleased about it. And, you know, he started camp kind of under a situation where, you know, I don't want to say they were immediately looking to move on from him, but, you know, I think that was a motivating factor. And, you know, the reality was he was getting cut. They were going to cut him at the end of camp if they did not trade him. And, you know, I think that the trade offered them an opportunity to get something out of him. But, yeah, it was a surprise. I'll be honest. I went through. He had a good day at camp when I was there. You know, he intercepted Matt Stafford when I was there. And I thought, okay, wow, this is good. You know, he's stepping into this role that, you know, I think they planned on long-term, you know, prior to this camp, him being a leader and you know, being an important piece of that defense. And that obviously is not what ultimately happened. And, you know, but again, I think it's a little bit of a few different things, just not wanting to pay him, retooling the defense in a way that was different in terms of what the priorities were going to be and, you know, where they would want to devote money. But I absolutely think that, you know, they expected him to show up to camp in better shape, and he didn't. And, you know, that was part of the reason why they ultimately ended up moving on from him.
Yeah, McVay was pretty testy with the beat writers the other day talking about this. So, okay, so out of shape. There's also been some, you know, some kind of a knee issue. It doesn't sound like it's too significant. But also, he's a team captain. He's been a very good player. Right. How do you think this plays out then for the Titans? I know sometimes a situation like this will happen. Maybe he's not happy that he knows he's not going to get that second deal where he is.
Right.
He wants
right.
out. Do you see this being potentially a guy who now has that extra juice and is a good pickup for the Titans?
Well, it's a wake-up call. There's no question. Because, I mean, it was I was stunned. I couldn't believe it when I heard, you know, that he was on the outs there. And I, you know, initially I was just like, okay, this is – I remember when I went through Rams camp in 2023 – and I was talking to somebody there, you know, one of their key decision makers, and he just straight up told me, like, when Aaron Donald retires, we're going to have to rethink what we do defensively. And it's probably going to mean that not only we're going to have to add a bunch of other young pieces, but we're going to have to change the way that we scheme, because they schemed the way that they drew up the scheme. It was very much dependent on what Aaron Donald did in the scheme. He was somebody who occupied every single snap, at least two offensive players and sometimes three. And it was, and you know, that affected how they used the linebackers, how they attacked the line of scrimmage. And so I knew once Donald retired, oh, wow, they're going to change things. And then they also lost Raheem Morris, the defensive coordinator, in the process. So I knew change was afoot. But I also think that Jones, it was just expected in the organization that, okay, hey, this guy's coming in the contract year. It's a big deal. I think they thought we're going to get the absolute best we can possibly get out of this guy. And then, you know, I think they were just surprised that when he got there, they felt like he wasn't in, you know, football shape. They felt like he wasn't where he needed to be ultimately. And I think that really motivated them to move on from him. I do think the coaching staff was upset with that scenario, and they knew this was on top of them rethinking how they wanted to scheme things. And, I think for the Titans, at the very least, look, you're getting what I think is a quality player, you know, when he's at the top of his game, and I'm sure Jones will have something to say about this. And again, this is, it's funny because I just don't think the Rams are going to speak on it publicly, you know, when it comes to their exact motivation for, you know, moving away from a guy that, as you said, you know, team captain, what I thought would be a centerpiece of defense. And again, a player that when I went through, I was like, oh, you know, had a good practice. And, it definitely surprised me, you know, down the stretch to hear that. And I had heard they were going to cut him. Like, that's what surprised me. I was like, wow, they're cutting this guy. Like, he's, you know, it's, they feel like they're going to bench him. They're not going to play him. And, you know, he was going to get released, and that's why he got traded. So, you know, I think the Titans, it's, you're getting a player with talent. You're getting a player with youth. But there was clearly motivation from the Rams to separate from him. And, I don't know how, you know, as a player, you don't take that as a pretty significant, change in direction from a franchise that should motivate you to go and play your best football, in Tennessee. Obviously, again, nothing's changed. I mean, he's on the verge of being able to, you know, sign a lucrative deal and be a big part of a defense. And I'm curious to know exactly what his response is to this whole thing, because as you said, I mean, the Rams staff clearly did not want to be questioned about it. I think they clearly had their motivations. It's a situation where I wish they would just say it, you know, be honest about why they did what they did. But I think part of that has to do with, you know, I guess not wanting to like knock the player, you know, in the wake of something like this.
So Charles, Malik Willis was traded from the Titans to the Packers. A couple things on that. Number one, what do you make of the idea of Malik Willis as the backup for Green Bay? And I saw you tweet, I guess, this spreadsheet out the other day, which is just unbelievable to look at. The quarterbacks drafted in 2021 and in 2022, and how many of them are either on different teams or out of the league at this point, Just 3 and 4 years later. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, it was a bad run between 2021 and 2022. And it's, you know, when I was going through the camp tour, and I don't know if I mentioned this on the show last week, but, you know, I happened to talk to a GM, and we were talking about the 2021 quarterback class, and, you know, four of the five first rounders being pretty clear misses. And, you know, he just went on and on about how COVID, you know, not being able to get the proper evaluation on those guys and spend enough time with not only the quarterbacks, but pretty much everybody that was drafted, really resulted in a lot of really bad mistakes. Now, 2022, that class was viewed as a pretty tepid quarterback class. You had Kenny Pickett, obviously, who was the only first round pick, and you know, he went, it was what, in the teens in the draft, and I think people knew, hey, the talent isn't quite where it was in 2021. What they thought was a bumper crop of quarterbacks, but clearly a ton of misevaluation in 2021, and then 2022. I think just guys just was not a great class. I remember at 1.2, we all thought, I don't want to say you guys, but I definitely thought Malik Willis was a potential first round pick.
Oh yeah,
in that draft, and not at all. You know, he slid significantly. Yeah, I mean, I had a GM tell me I would if we did not have a resolution at quarterback, I would take Malik Willis in the first round, and then he didn't take him like in any other opportunities after that either. So I was like, maybe that's a little how truthful this really was on the Malik Willis evaluation. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see him go to Green Bay, because I think, you know, do I want to say he needs a fresh start? Again, he was the choice of a, you know, past regime. He's a player that probably fits in terms of like schematically what they want to do with the starting quarterback a little more closely. You know, that's all I can figure. Plus, look, there was an asset to be had for Willis, and that's another guy that, because they were keeping Mason Rudolph, you're going to cut him, and, you know, so you get something out of him. You know, I know Joe. I mean, I don't know what Joe talked to. I mean, I don't want to say this. Joe was. Do you want to talk about your evaluation of him in the preseason? You felt pretty good about him, right?
Wait, this preseason, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I thought he definitely got better. He's gotten better. Yeah.
Sure. Right. Yeah. I mean, you know. So, I mean, if you're the
did
Packers,
I tell you he was about to be an All Pro? Did I? Is
no, 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 no. I'm not suggest that. I just hadn't seen him enough, you know, this preseason to know if he'd really taken a meaningful enough step to be the backup quarterback in Tennessee. I mean, I know what Mason Rudolph is, you know, and I assumed when he was brought in, okay, that's really going to be the chosen backup, and Willis has got an uphill climb. So I don't think it surprises me at all that he's getting another opportunity elsewhere. If, as you say, Joe, and again, I wasn't there enough to know for sure if he was taking another meaningful step, but that's two off seasons where, and I trust your assessment, that he's gotten better. So he's still a player that has his arrow pointed upward, and he will, you know, he's the lockdown backup quarterback there.
Don't put too much on me. You're making me into the Malik apology. I mean, he's better. He's a backup. Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah. I mean, and ultimately, look, if that's the role that you know he's going to play in the NFL, I'm sure he's got the skill set to stick around for a while. But it makes more sense in terms of what I think. You know, Green Bay is both doing schematically, and the Titans, as I said, you know, being. I felt like it was pretty clear that they had chosen a different backup quarterback when they make the move toward Rudolph in the offseason, and it was just a matter of time before, you know, Willis ended up moving on. So not a huge, I think, surprise for me. I don't think he'll ever – I guess I just – personally, I don't envision him developing into a starting quarterback in the NFL. I think there – it's just certain, you know, the time on task, at times the speed of plays, and I don't know, it felt to me like when I went through, you know, camp, he was still, you know, a tick slow on some stuff, and that's going to be a problem and for most NFL teams. I mean, he seems to me like a guy who's going to take sacks, and quarterbacks who tend to take sacks and aren't getting the ball out fast enough, they never really ascend to be starters.
So what did, if there's one thing that stands out, or maybe, you know, it could be more than one, but really surprise you this week, Charles, and are the Lions going to have a third receiver on their team this year?
Who can
play
Patrick,
football?
Right? Don't you think it's got to be Patrick? I mean, he gets added to their practice squad.
You say Tim Patrick?
Yeah.
See, there you go. I didn't even know that happened. Yeah, that's not bad. That's why I come to you.
I mean, Is that news? Did I not? Did I? I assumed that he had been added at this point to their practice squad. Has he not been added?
I believe he
has. Oh, no, I haven't gone to my RestoreTheRoar.com fan site today yet. I was counting on you.
Something out loud that hasn't happened yet. I've been so underwater, like doing other stuff, I'm like, you know, researching all this stuff for why all these other teams failed to complete three-peats and working on that piece and then doing some stuff on NFC quarterbacks. And so I haven't been paying attention. So I thought I just said something out loud that hadn't happened yet.
And they got Allen Robinson too.
Breaking. Yeah, Allen Robinson's interesting. Yeah.
So there's two, I mean, that's two veteran players that, frankly, you know, Patrick, I think it's interesting because I think Patrick had a really good preseason for the Broncos. I also think that Sean Payton he had his guys like in at wide receiver. They drafted a bunch of young guys. I think he felt like he'd remolded the position. And it was more sort of like, I want to move on, especially when the guy hasn't been consistently healthy. That drives Sean Payton nuts. So it wasn't a surprise to me that, you know, Patrick ended up being cut loose. And, you know, Allen Robinson's just never turned the corner. He's had a couple of organizations where after the Rams, I think, you know, there were the Steelers expected a lot out of him last year, didn't get it. You know, the Rams expect a lot out of him, you know, that really ultimately didn't materialize. And, you know, so it's two veterans who are really good in the wide receiver room. And I actually think those are pretty decent additions for Detroit. Oddly enough, the most surprising thing to me that actually occurred was what happened with Ernest Jones. Like again, when I went through, he had a good practice and I'm like, oh yeah, young player who's now with, you know, your superstar defensive tackle retiring is going to ascend this leadership role. And then it didn't happen. And it surprised me. That was really the one situation that developed, where I didn't expect it because of the age and prior to this season, where the trajectory was going. But I clearly didn't factor in what they expected of him showing up into camp, the injury stuff, the contract stuff, this whole confluence of things that ended up in him getting moved. But that, to me, was definitely the most shocking development in terms of a key piece of talent moving from one team to another.
Charles Robinson with us here on the program. So, Charles, CeeDee Lamb gets the big deal. Ja'Marr Chase has shown up to Bengals practice. And then there's Brandon Ayuk with John Lynch getting publicly frustrated yesterday, saying, you know, at some point, you got to play. Right. What do you make of what this has now turned into with Brandon Ayuk? You need the Trent Williams situation still going on with them as well. What do you make of what this means for San Francisco as we're now less than 2 weeks away from week one?
Well, I think the Niners are like, okay, you had the opportunity to shop yourself. you got other deals offered to you that would have seemed commensurate to what you were looking for, and you didn't want those. So now we've offered you, you know, we've had offers with you that you don't want to take. You've got other teams where you've had offers you didn't want to take. What are we doing here? The market has said what you are. The money is what it is. I think that they're to the point where it's like, either take this deal or we're not going to continue to do this hold in. And that's part of why, you know, you have the doctors look at him and declare him healthy, because you have to have the ability now to make a decision on him. And I think, and I tweeted this yesterday, like, I don't understand how you can have him in the building, you know, taking part in a hold-in once the games start. Because now you have a player who's showing up to meetings, he's doing the lifting, he's doing all these things that normally he would be doing, but he's not going out to practice, and he's just like, I'm not going to play in games. Well, you don't give a player like that game checks. You suspend that player at that point. Like, you suspend him for conduct detrimental. And I think they do not want to do that. Like, they know that's sort of the sour note that could really, you know, send this thing sideways. But at the very least, you got to be able to fine him and say, we're fining you. You're not getting game checks, obviously, once the season starts. So this hold-in stuff is now, it's a holdout. I don't know how you have hold out with the guys in the building. That's the weird thing here, where I'm just like, and it's the same thing with Ja'Marr Chase. I don't know, like, functionally how you are going to move forward with a player who's like, yeah, I'll keep showing up to the facility, but I'm not going to play football games for you until this deal gets done. That's where teams get put into a scenario where they're like, yeah, we just don't want you at the facility then. You can't be here. Like, you're a normal piece of the team, but then saying, I'm not going to step onto a football field for you now that the games count. So it's a really tough week, I think, for both of those organizations. They have to figure out what they're willing to do with these players. And I just don't see any scenario where they don't have to take some kind of significant retribution that straight up shows we're not going to keep doing this now that we're, you know, to a point now where the games are starting. I will say this about the Bengals. I think the Bengals looked at the situation with Chase, and if they were being honest, they would say, hey, we'll take him to the end of his deal and we'll franchise tag him, and then we'll just do it that way. We'll ride out a couple years of his career if we have to put a franchise tag on him, even though the tag is going to be really high because of salary, wide receiver salary. We'll go that route. The Niners are not willing to do that with Ayuk. Like, they want a resolution one way or another. Like, either, you know, you'll take a deal with another team and we'll trade you, or if you want to be here, which they thought he had signaled that when he didn't take these other opportunities to be traded and sign deals elsewhere, they thought he wanted to be there. And now they're just like, okay, why do we keep wrangling on contract details that at this point should have been, you know, finished. So weird spots for both of these teams. Trent Williams, that's another one too, where I don't know. I think they know that they're going to get a contract adjustment done on them. But again, I think they thought it would have been done by now, and it isn't. And, you know, that's another situation that's troubling. It's something that clearly should have been done by this point. And all I can say is I hope Brock Purdy ends up being worth this, because part of the reason why they're not paying, you know, these guys, particularly Ayuk, is because they know they have to pay Brock Purdy down the line. And that's kind of pushed them to a crossroads in both of these situations, Williams and Ayuk.
It's all lining up for the Lions. It's all lining up. So give us a little preview, Charles. You said you're working on something on, obviously, the Chiefs, who I think have a great chance to three-peat, and the challenges. What? Give me the – If there's a thumbnail description of what you've discovered, and then also, do you like the Chiefs to three-peat?
I do. I think – so I talked to Tom Brady a while back and asked him just like, hey, you went through this. You've won Super Bowls. You had an opportunity to three-peat, and it didn't happen for you. Like, what – you know, you're looking at the Chiefs. What do you think? And – you know, Brady just kind of went through the scenario of like how extremely difficult it is to win one Super Bowl, and you have to have this multitude of things line up just to win one. And he's like, now when you take that and you extrapolate it and you go to 2 and 3, it's just, there's just no, your run of luck has to be so good for you to win three. You can't run into a hot team like in the playoffs. You can't like basically catch a team at the wrong time. You have to have the right playoff positioning. Injuries become such a huge factor. And, you know, so there were, what, eight other franchises that had opportunities to three-peat, and none of them pulled it off. And so I basically went back and looked at all these seasons where they weren't able to get it done, trying to find sort of a common thread. And really, it was a multitude of different things. So for, like, Brady, there were a ton of injuries. I think they ended up rotating through like between 40 and 50 different starters over the course of the 2005 season when they failed to repeat or three-peat. And they lost both coordinators. Romeo Crennel and Charlie Weiss went elsewhere. Like, Belichick didn't even have an offensive coordinator in 2005. And it was just, I mean, they got gutted basically by injuries. They lost Teddy Bruschi and Rodney Harrison in that same season. So those were like the two cornerstone leaders of their defense. Bruschi had that stroke. If you remember that year, it was like really weird. And those are the things you can't prepare for. So if I'm looking at the Chiefs, and I think there's no question in my mind, they have the talent to pull off a three-peat, and they've added a lot of, like, honestly kind of banged up assets at wide receiver, but I think they've just layered it. But already you're looking like Hollywood Brown, right? You're dealing with an injury there. And Xavier Worthy, you're expecting a lot out of a guy that's going to be a wide receiver. if you ask me, why won't the Chiefs pull this off? It'll be injuries. Like, to me, that's, I think the coaching staff's fine. You know, they're in a really good place schematically. You know, Andy is what he is on offense, Steve Spagnuolo on defense. I think from a talent standpoint, for the most part, they're bringing back a team that's comparable to what won the Super Bowl last season. But you're going to be depending on Mahomes again pretty significantly to cover up for some of those holes. You're going to be hoping that Travis Kelce can continue to be a high-level player, even though, you know, he's getting to that point where you're like, when is the turn going to happen for him? And, you know, he's going to start to struggle as an elite-level player. You have to hope that that doesn't happen this season. But I just think the thread that I look at that's most common amongst the teams that didn't win it, injuries just piled up. Like, some of them aged out. The Steelers, you know, when they had that second back-to-back Super Bowl win, they got to, you know, got to a point where, like, Franco Harris was done. Like, Terry Bradshaw was starting to fade. And so, yeah, I mean, it's, I think the Chiefs are a great team. I think there's definitely everything there to do it. But, you know, I think Brady's right. You have to have perfection in a lot of different ways. And I don't know that, I mean, that's just a lot to hope for the Chiefs to, you know, hit everything right and not have the injuries. And I would bet you that if it doesn't happen, we'll be talking toward the end of the season about, you know, some kind of injuries piling up or something significant happening from an injury standpoint that ends up scuttling them. Kind of like when they lost in the Super Bowl against Tampa Bay and they had all those injuries on the offensive line.
Well, Charles, great stuff as always. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us. Next week when we talk to you, it will be NFL season.
The opening day.
Yeah,
I'm
so happy, man. Yeah, opening day. I will be in Kansas City, actually, for that opener.
Nice.
So.
Watch Derek
all right, guys.
For three Bills in that game. We'll see what
we
happens.
We made it. Enjoy the Ernest Jones. I'm sure the Ernest Jones stuff will go really well now that
I'm sure it will.
We got it all ready to replay.
We will.
All right,
thanks,
guys.
Charles. Appreciate it, man. Charles Robinson joins us every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock. Very interesting stuff that he said on Ernest Jones. We'll react to that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
But I also think that Jones, it was just expected in the organization that, okay, hey, this guy's coming in the contract year. It's a big deal. I think they thought we're going to get the absolute best we can possibly get out of this guy. And then, you know, I think they were just surprised that when he got there, they felt like he wasn't in, you know, football shape. They felt like he wasn't where he needed to be ultimately. And I think that really motivated them to move on from him. I do think the coaching staff was upset with that scenario. You know, so I think for the Titans, at the very least, look, you're getting what I think is a quality player, you know, when he's at the top of his game, and I'm sure Jones will have something to say about this. And again, this is, it's funny because I just don't think the Rams are going to speak on it publicly, you know, when it comes to their exact motivation for, you know, moving away from a guy that, as you said, you know, team captain, what I thought would be a centerpiece of the defense.
That's Charles Robinson with us in the last segment. If you missed it, go check it out, Robbie and Rexwood, wherever you get your podcasts, thegamenashville.com, Apple, Spotify. Some very interesting comments on Ernest Jones, the newest addition via trade by the Tennessee Titans. Basically saying, contract year, Rams felt like he showed up out of shape, and went on to say in that conversation that he'd heard that the Rams are going to cut him. The Rams are going to cut him, and that's why they were motivated to move on, and that's why the trade ultimately happened. What do you make of what Charles had to say on Ernest Jones and how that all came together in L.A.?
Well, one thing I have to say is, Stilly, we'll take free lunch because we just gave you half your show today, so you're welcome.
I'm always down for lunch.
Yeah. Well, hey, hi, Chase and Big Joe. Remember that lunch
that's going on about a year ago now?
Willie owes me a pizza for Askarov.
I'm getting you a pizza tomorrow.
And Keezer's buying pizza tomorrow. We are going to be rolling, baby.
Yeah, we are.
Speaking of out of shape going into the season.
Fat and Bald Show right here.
But
Pasty, too.
Yeah, these are we were called Pasty Indoor Cats yesterday on the chat. You know, I think this is a great example of if something seems way too good to be true initially, it probably is. but because, you know, those are two things that – those are two nuggets that I had not heard all the things thrown around this week that Charles just delivered there, which are the out-of-shape thing. We've talked about the knee. And like I said earlier, I think Rand Carthon's explanation of the knee thing was pretty convincing yesterday in terms of who he knows in the organization and everything. And then the fact that they were going to cut him.
Yeah.
But I tell you what,
by the way, why you need to listen to Charles Robinson every Thursday at 8 o'clock on this program.
Yes, yes, and also you look at like McVay, and like if you watch that presser, no, don't just listen, watch it. Because he did like I guess he still does Zooms with the writers sometimes.
He was upset.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, very, very much so. So look, it sounds like they were upset with him. Like you're supposed to be a big time player leader, and you came in out of shape, and then things deteriorated. And again, that's that side. What's his side? I will say this for the Titans' perspective: sometimes something like this isn't all that bad for you because you get a guy who is ticked off and comes in, and we know he's a good football player. So now he gets a fresh start, and that can serve as something that gives a few more one arm push ups in the morning and might work out well for the Titans. And they didn't give up much, and they swapped a fifth and a sixth.
They didn't. Now, the flip side of that is, if all that's true, and he did show up out of shape, not in good football shape, and wasn't where the Rams wanted him to be, knowing that it's a contract year for him, isn't that a little bit concerning? Like, if there's ever a time to show up in shape and to be ready to go, it's probably when you're entering into a contract year, would be my guess.
Sure. Yeah, look, I mean, and this will be interesting. I know he talked to reporters yesterday, but this will get out.
This
will get out. And so it will be interesting to hear what he said. But, yeah, I know you're right. That's totally fair. I mean, maybe he knows they're not giving him the contract, but either way, like, obviously you can't. I mean, you're being dependent on to that extent.
I mean, are we going right to the Robbie Stanley Five Guys Burgers and Fries approach if you know you're not getting the contract from the team and just going all in?
I don't know. That Five Guys? I thought it was Cracker Barrel approach.
Got to be versatile.
Okay. That's good to know that you mix it up a little bit.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, how out of shape are we talking? You know, I mean, is he in shape now?
Right.
He showed up at camp and now he's in shape? It's what the football players used to do.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, I guess I cut down to a half a pack a day and, we'll lose this 10 pounds I need to lose during camp.
Right, because surface level initial reaction is, wow, the Titans got a pretty good player and all they had to give up was a fifth-round pick. And really it was a pick swap. They got a fifth-round pick. And
they drop around.
Yeah. So, like, on the surface, it's like, wow, great job, Rand Carthon. That seems awesome. And maybe it works out that way. Like, he has demonstrated to be a good football player when he's been on the field. So, I mean, there's no reason for me to think that he's forgotten how to play. But if all that stuff is true and he showed up out of shape, and if it's more than just the Rams didn't want to pay him because of the position that he plays, like, that's one thing. That's an organizational philosophy, and that doesn't mean that you can't get a really good player. If there's something to he was out of shape, didn't have the approach they were looking for, to me, that's a little bit more concerning.
Yeah,
end of the year.
And look, I think even with all of that, as we've talked about, the Rams are going to be good this year. Now, it's like Chef Rand said on the YouTube chat, it's very interesting to think about this in terms of the scheme change, Aaron Donald, and all that stuff. But the bottom line is, like, I've seen enough of him play. He is a good football player. He has been a good football player. So, given where they are, there's him coming in out of shape and all that stuff, but also like what they've seen in camp clearly. And that's another thing McVay was doing the other day is he listed like four guys who I guess he thinks they're all better than him now. So they watched him play in camp too. And these other guys, you could always do that. These other guys are better scheme fits. And maybe that's true, but I think at his best, he's a guy who's again, like scheme is important. Scheme fit, that's important. And in some cases it's really important, but if you're a good football player, then usually you got some scheme versatility.
I agree, and I think that probably applies to him. But, I mean, he has been a good football player. They've seen him perform well on the field, and they were thinking about cutting him.
Wow.
Right.
I mean, that deteriorates quickly.
So is that more like he has regressed as a player because he's out of shape or whatever, the knee, whatever it is, or is it more the other guys? I mean, we talked about Rashad Weaver. Is it more that Rashad Weaver is just ineffective and he just plummeted, or some guys here are just like, well, actually, Jalen Harrell is better than him, and good for Jalen Harrell. He made a move. I don't know. But the Titans, look, I like the move even after all this information, and especially because if this guy, he's a team captain, he has been a very productive player in this league. Whatever happened, you got to think he's going to be on fire this year
to
shut some people up, right?
I would hope so. We'll take your reaction to what Charles Robinson had to say on the Ernest Jones front, 615-737-1025. Plus, I got a real spicy college football take for you to end the show as well. All that coming up.
Ooh, good.
Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. I got a pair of tickets to give away to see Squeeze at Ryman Auditorium this Saturday, August 31st. Be caller 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, caller number 3. We'll win a pair of tickets to see Squeeze at Ryman Auditorium. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line. Welcome in Kyle to the program. Kyle, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. Yeah, Charles said a lot of things that I've been pondering about and kind of theorizing. I think, like he said, he knew he was going to get cut, so he kind of pulled an Albert Haynesworth, came in out of shape, and just he knew he wasn't going to get a contract because the newer guys behind him were going to take his spot and they were just going to move on. So he just decided, hey, let's force my hand. So they got a seventh-round pick out of it, and we got a starting middle linebacker.
Yep.
Sorry, I'm out of breath.
Thanks for the call, Kyle. Appreciate it.
Well, but that's actually not what Charles said.
Hope you get back in breath.
Yes, get that breath back, Kyle. But that's not what Charles said. Remember, Charles said they had expectations for him coming to camp. The him getting cut, he didn't know he was getting cut. The him getting cut decision that Charles just told us from the Rams perspective was after he came in out of shape.
Right.
So, you know, they to some level, they were disappointed in what they saw from him this camp.
Yes. Which, again, if this is your contract year, and you got to keep in mind in this discussion, like, this is the Rams side of things. There's always two sides to every story.
Sure.
Clearly, Ernest Jones, I think, wanted another contract. And was there a signal early on that he wasn't going to get that? How did that affect the way he approached things? How did that affect his relationship with the Rams management and front office? Like, all those things factor into these discussions. So we're talking about the Rams' perspective on this. The truth is probably somewhere in the middle. But if it is as simple as, man, he just showed up and wasn't what they thought he should be in camp, that's concerning to me heading into all this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's going to be really – but so, again, it's like – I mean, the Titans have upgraded. I'm confident in saying that. They've upgraded at a low cost. It's just not quite a move that should warrant a parade.
Well, it's why somebody like that gets traded at age 24. There's got to be something else going on behind the scenes.
And the Titans have – look at – I mean, a Snead is to some degree, another example of someone who, if there wasn't the health concern, the market would have been different for him.
Andrew on the text line says, I can't believe literally no one is mentioning Molden being traded. Well, we spent the first 30 minutes of the show on it, and it's not like they traded Ed Reed. He's a nice player.
Maybe Harbaugh will turn him into Ed Reed. Yeah, look, we talked about earlier, to give you a quick recap, I think holding on to Elijah Molden would have made more sense because of his versatility and because of their depth issues. He has his own injury concerns, obviously. His injury history is extensive, so there's that too. But the fact that if you had to in a pinch, could you throw him at nickel and put McCreary outside if you all of a sudden you run into corner injuries, which are certainly possible with this team? I just, you know, to get a seventh-round pick back for him, that's a move that I think the Titans shouldn't have made.
Spicy college football hot take for you. We mentioned some games earlier.
Games tonight, baby.
Well, there's one I purposely did not mention because I was saving it for this segment. Colorado taking on North Dakota State tonight.
Oh, I know where you're
going.
They
will lose.
That's tonight?
That's tonight. They are going to lose.
My goodness. I did not know we had that tonight.
They are only a 9.5-point favorite. So, I mean, first off, North Dakota State.
Oh, they're always solid.
Always pretty good.
Yes.
Well, for their level of football, always pretty good. Only a 9.5-point favorite at home for Colorado. That's my spicy hot take. They are going to lose tonight.
Okay.
The train goes off the track early.
Okay. Well, allow me to retort.
Go ahead.
I say Colorado covers, and I'll bet you the last slice of pizza tomorrow that Nick's buying us.
That's fine. I accept that bet.
Okay. There we go. I say Colorado covers. You say they straight up lose.
Yeah.
All right. We get my Joe Milton.
What happens if Colorado wins by like 4? Nobody gets the extra slice pizza. We just leave it there.
I guess Nick gets it. Okay. He's buying the pizza.
All right. That's fine.
It's fair. There we go.
Nick, we're auctioning off
pizza going to win.
That you're buying.
There's going to be a win-win-win here. Okay.
That's right.
Dude, I didn't know that game was tonight. I'm so excited.
I feel good about it. I think North Dakota State's going to win.
Oh, you could very well be right.
I feel good about it.
And if that's the case,
You would hope, like, for Colorado's sake, number one, I think their offensive line's gotten better. But you would hope that would be a game where, like, the talent of Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter alone is probably enough to carry you over the top. But I predict that it will not be. Yeah. Colorado loses tonight.
What time in TV? Give me time in TV on
7 o'clock on ESPN.
Heck yeah. Let's go.
So between me scouting NC State, I will also be watching that game.
And North Carolina, Minnesota. This is a good night.
College football is back, baby.
Love it.
Love it. We made it a week from today, NFL regular season, opening day. Little Derrick Henry versus the Chiefs. It's football time, baby.
It is. It doesn't get much better than that, folks.
We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chase and Big Joe up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.